Hi, my wife rang me and said the water was getting high, and I came home. I couldn't even tell her what time it was. Not to be honest.
What's the house like inside?
Well, the house in here is, this part of it is okay. Just that part in there.
Around the side and around the back.
I could see
it. You go around the back here, and there's still water on the ground here at the moment. You've got sandbags up at your patio.
Well, only for Alan to help us a bit, like.
So if we open the patio door. Oh.
Well, he was gone in when we got the sandbags, you know.
Now, if we can step in, if you would mind, we can come in with me, Anthony. It's.
Oh dear.
Anthony,
this needn't have happened, you know. If they'd opened the gates over there in the lock, that wouldn't have happened to us here. You know, and there's elderly people up behind us, knowing they're sick. And there's a woman 2 doors up from us, and she's sick. And it's just her son. I was telling him the other day, kept it from her. And about 12 o'clock last night, she realised there was something wrong with.
And how far up the walls here did the...
It came up. It came up to the steps there.
So it came up at least a foot?
Yeah. It came up here. It came up just up here, up along here.
Right, so... Yeah. The whole lot of the apartment here was ruined.
That's where we put the dog in there. In there. On top of the chair. And he jumped off.
I had 4 of them there. But
this is your wife, is it?
It is.
Hello.
He was my princess, like. And I loved her because she, no matter where I go, even if I come in the car, she'd bark. She'd know I was coming.
This and is like, awful sad for you.
It is, because I bring him in there. And I left him, the water wasn't even that bad. I put up him on the chair. And when my son-in-law came down, he said, where's the dog? Says I'd have 2 in there to sit room. The 2 boys are in the sitting room, the 2 girls are in here. And when he came in, he said, Juice is only there. I thought, didn't she must have, one the kids might have opened the door. And I went around the place looking for her. And when they said they found him behind where the television was, didn't want to tell me either. I have him years.
She's 3 years of years, you know, like.
She never really got big or anything. She was always very thin. I had her fits and everything. They said it was just her nature.
She was one of the family.
Oh, one of the family. I have a grandson and he just adores her. And he comes in last night and he picked up Juicy and he said, Nan, he said, don't let nothing happen to Juicy now. I just felt it was my fault over putting him in there. I just had to be safe in there.
Now, if we move to the wider implications for Limerick following this shooting.
Yes, that's. I suppose that's what a lot of people are worried about as well. You know, Christy Keane, he was a leading member. He was pivotal in the early stages of the gangland feud which happened in Limerick. He was a member of the Keane Colopy Ryan, as it was then. And then you had the McCarthy Duntons on the other side. So he was pivotal in that. And that's a fear that people have when they heard that this was Christy Keane, that they fear, is this a return to the bad old days? Is this a reprisal? Is this the start of something new? We heard the new mayor of Limerick, Liam Galvin, yesterday saying that I hope it's not a return to the gun and crime that plagued Limerick City and parts of the county as well for nigh on 15, 20 years in the earlier this century. So that's an issue that people are worried about. Again, I suppose it goes back to the early 2000, like in 2000 when there was an attempt on Eddie Ryan's life by Christy Keane. There was a leading associate, he was an enforcer for Christy Keane, but things went sour there, and there was an attempt on Christy Keane's life by Eddie Ryan. Then 2 days later Eddie Ryan was shot dead in the Moose Bar in Cathedral Place, and that kind of started the ball rolling even faster and faster and faster. Christy Keane's brother Kieran Keane Dean was murdered in a house in Limerick, and his cousin Owen Tracy, this was in 2003, his cousin Owen Tracy was taken and he was stabbed, and he was found in Drumbanna, which is kind of parallels to where the Volvo was found yesterday. So you had all this snowballing effect of this. Christy Keane himself was in jail. He was jailed in 2002 for the possession of €240,000 worth of cocaine that was found. He was found with it in a coal sack in St Mary's Park and Wasteland in St Mary's Park in 2001, and he was jailed for 10 years and he was released in 2009. Now, I believe that there was another attempt on his life in 2009, but since then he's been very, very much under the radar. And as we heard Superintendent Derek Smart saying there, there was no warning, there was no fear that his life was under threat, or there weren't any rumblings under the, you know, under the radar that there was something up and something afoot.
Now, there have been reductions in the number of Gardaí in Limerick. Do they have the resources to take this on?
Well, as we say, that the resources are there, according to Derek Smart. Derek Smart says the resources are there. Of course, there are going to be, you know, there are fewer Gardaí working on the beat at the moment. There are fewer inspectors, sergeants around. So, yes, it will put a bit of pressure on them, but they're well used to they are well used to this, you know, type of investigation. But just getting some information in now, this is breaking news now, Joe, and that a man in his 30s has been arrested for this on suspicion of attempted murder. He's being held at Henry Street Garda Station, and he can be held with under Section 50 of the Criminal Justice Act, which means that he can be held for 7 days without charge.
Right, so that's literally coming
that's
to
just
you
just after coming in as we're speaking
as
here.
As we're
the
speaking here, so there has been an arrest, a significant development in this case. Finally, what are the implications for the University of Limerick? The university and UL Arena, synonymous with education and sporting achievement, the very best that Limerick can offer.
I suppose, yes, and Joe, and that's it. The University of Limerick is always seen and is rightly seen as a shining example of what can happen in Limerick and what is good in Limerick. It could never, nothing like this could ever come at a bad time, but I suppose for the University of Limerick itself, it's probably one of the worst times it could come for, because the CAO applications are, the change of mind applications are for tomorrow. The 1st of July is the deadline for that. So people will be up there putting out adverts, you know, promoting the university, saying you should come to the university. You know, anybody who might have been wavering in their CAO forms, that is happening, you know, so it couldn't have come at a worse time. Father Donald McNamara, we're just after coming in the door, the front door of St. Lelia's Church. Can you explain, first of all, we're at one of the candelabras here where people give 30 cent to light a candle to St. Anthony. The people who broke in tried to rob the money.
That's correct. They came in a side door around over at the side and they forced their way into that. So really, they were obviously only after money. They did both candelabras here in the church, one here and one up at the top of the church. And then they broke their way into the sacristy. They turned the whole place upside down inside there.
Did they get the money from the candelabra here?
There was very little money in it, thank God, because we normally clean them out on Sunday and we bring all the money down to St. Munchen's, where we have the counting of it on Monday morning, and it was all banked. So there would have been very little money in it.
Right, so if we walk up the side of the church here, so there was nothing else done, no damage done further down the back of the church, but up towards, there's another candelabra up here.
That's correct, and they did the same here. They forced it open, but I think, again, would have got very little money inside in it.
Right, so that was the second one. Now, in the sacristy then, that was where the most of the damage was done.
It was. That's right. They forced their way in this door here.
This is the door just to the right of the altar. Okay, you can see that the door is completely broken there, the side by the handle there.
That's correct. And then the safe was in there at the back of the door, so that was completely taken out. And
how big was the safe?
It's not that big, but you'd want a few really strong men to carry it. It would be very difficult to carry it. And they wrote up kind of certain things on the walls.
Up my Ross, it says.
Yeah, over there again. Mm-hmm. And they broke in here as well.
What's in there
now?
There's
nothing, absolutely nothing. It didn't even make sense to me why they did it. You can't even get access to it. It's just...
That's just... where the altar cloths are, right. And it's basically a wardrobe with finger towels, baptism towels, funeral material.
That's right. All kinds of books and so missals.
Wanton vandalism there, anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. So then they broke the door out there as well.
That's through out to the other side of the sacristy.
That's correct, yeah.
And out we go. And this is basically behind the... We're behind the altar now. And
the altar. They pulled out all of this.
What's this now? This
it's just a radiator for heating the church, but they pulled it out. They've got away with the keys of the organ, the keys of the tabernacle, and many other keys are gone as well.
What was inside in the safe?
They would have been very disappointed because all the money had been taken out of it. There were some bottles of wine. There may have been some of the sacred vessels, a chalice or so. We're not quite so sure yet. We're still trying to locate all of them that we've had. But in fact, there was very little inside in it, very little.
What would you say to people who did this, if they've got the sacred vessels, the chalices? What would you say to them?
Somebody said to me this morning, I was saying the 9:30 Mass in St. Munchen's, and they said, Father, you should really pray for them. I said, I would have great difficulty in praying for them. The prayers that I would be saying, they wouldn't do them any favours, I can guarantee you. You know, it's sad that they will break into the house of God, where people love to come and worship. The people of this parish here in St. Lelia's, they love their church. They take great pride in their church. They put everything into it, and they were hugely saddened and disappointed. Yesterday morning, when they discovered what had happened, I couldn't believe it when I came down. It's actually very upsetting and distressing when you discover it. I can appreciate it happened to me once or twice when I came to the parish at the early stages, but now, never since then. And it's a delightful parish to work in. The people are delightful, they're lovely, they're supportive, they're generous in every way with their time, and in every way they're so supportive and appreciative and affirming for anything that Father Pat Seaver and I do here. Pat is away in Ghana at the moment. He's very much involved in the Ghanaian community. He goes there every year, so he's away there for a couple of weeks. But we'll pick it up and we'll get back on track again.
It seems as if the church wasn't the only business or property around the area that was broken into over the past couple of days.
Apparently, there were other places. Johnsy's shop was done. The butcher's shop was done. There's a cafe or a restaurant down the street here, which was done also. And that was all on Sunday night. And it was obviously late. They knew what they were doing because they did it all around here at the back where nobody could see or hear of them. But I still am baffled as to how they got the safe out. Really baffled as to how they got it out. It was out this door here that they actually went.
So the side door out to the right of the altar as you're looking down the church. Right, yeah. So they had to break that door open as well.
Yep. It was in here they came, in this door. Now the gentlemen who work here, they put those boards up on it just to secure it last night. But they obviously broke it in and then pushed down that bar. So everything was taken out here out the side. So that's the scale, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know, it's sad that they would do it in the house of God. That's all I would say. And that's the most distressing part of it, I found. And especially for the people here in St. Lelia's, because they love their church. They take great pride in it. And, I mean, every morning you'd have a minimum of 50 or 60 people here for Mass. And they just love it. And all very saddened and disappointed. But we'll get it back on track again.
And you don't have the cost of the replacement of all the items?
No, the insurance man is coming to check it out, and we have to get, you know, castings in the doors. We'll have to get new doors and that kind of thing. So we don't know as yet. We're just following up on that.
Two men remain in Garda custody after a man died when he interrupted intruders at his County Limerick home. 62-year-old John O'Donoghue from Tumaline Doon died of a heart attack after discovering the men. Live 95 FM's Dennis Tierney has more.
Shock and anger are reverberating around the community of Doon following the tragic events of yesterday afternoon. 62-year-old John O'Donoghue collapsed and died of a heart attack after discovering a number of intruders in his home around 1:30. These local people are numbed by the tragedy.
Oh, he's a great white man. A grand neighbour and everything, yeah. It's a shock, isn't it? See, I have 20 on the elderly as well, like my father, they're only over the road, like, so it's a shock in the community.
We're all saddened to hear the news, like, because he was a very nice fella. And a good tradesman. We couldn't believe it, like.
Parish priest Father Anthony Ryan administered the last rites to Mr. O'Donoghue.
I knew John as a thorough gentleman. a quiet, very intelligent person, very inoffensive and very popular.
Two men who are from the traveller community in Limerick City were arrested a short time later and remain in custody in Henry Street Garda Station under Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act. As the community comes to terms with the tragedy, thoughts turn to whether everyone else is safe in their homes. Local IFA member David Thompson says people are fearful.
This is a terrible tragedy, and I'm afraid things like this are going to happen because the state of crime, the criminals are doing what they like.
63-year-old Thomas Ryan was found unconscious on the ground in Kennedy Park in the early hours of the 10th of July 2013. He suffered severe injuries to his head. His family was told he would never recover from the injuries and died in a nursing home 18 months later from medical complications. 24-year-old Patrick Phelan of Galvone Road, Limerick, was also sentenced to a 3-year suspended sentence for burglary at a neighbour's home while on bail for the assault. Following the sentencing, Live 95FM's Dennis Tierney spoke to Thomas Ryan's sister, Breda O'Callaghan.
We'll never get Thomas back. It'll never bring him back, no matter how many years he gets. And 8 years, we were kind of expecting that thereabouts. We knew he wouldn't get the full sentence for life, but just hope that he learns his lesson and doesn't attack another elderly man, you know. Thomas was very quiet, very, very quiet man. Just loved his music. He lived on his own. He was a bit of a loner. And he was in London for 25 years as a chef. He loved to cook. And he came back then after 25 years, you know, to be with my mother and father for their last few years there. And he never bothered anyone. He was never aggressive. He was a very small, thin man, you know, and just went about his business. He liked his few drinks now and again, but all he'd ever do was sing. He'd love to sing, you know.
But can you describe the impact that, first of all, the assault had on him, and then when he moved to the nursing home and the effect that it had?
Oh, that was horrendous. When we got the news that morning that I had found Thomas in Kennedy Park, we couldn't understand why they'd find Thomas up around Kennedy Park, because he wouldn't be around that area. But I went out with my daughter out to intensive care. We couldn't let my mother out. She wouldn't have been able. And when I got out there, I didn't recognise him. His face was so swollen. He had fractures to his eyes, the blood coming out of his ears. He was in a coma at the time, so they didn't hold out much hope, you know. So we used to go out every day and play his music, because he loved his Jimi Hendrix, and trying, you know, hoping that he would come around and he would get better. But the doctors told us, you know, he had severe brain damage. And he was in the hospital for 2 months, and we'd go out twice a day. He had a carer with him all the time, because he would try and get out of the bed, you know, even though he couldn't walk, you know. And they told us, like, we'd have to find a nursing home for him, because he would never get any better. So we got him into the Good Counsel nursing home, where we used to go up every single day. At that stage, his speech was gone. And he used to be trying to tell us things, and he'd shout, but we couldn't understand what he was saying. All we could do was stand there or sit down and sit with him for a while. But all he ever wanted was to go home. When am I going home? When am I going home? We had a little chart, and he'd point to the house, home.
In the Fair Green.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Back to the Fair Green. Broke my mother's heart. She aged overnight. My mother was a very lively woman, you know, loved dressing up, loved, you know, going out for her walks. But after this happened to Thomas, she just sat at the fire. She'd go out 3 days a week. It used to break her heart. She'd say, how could anybody do that to an innocent person? And she was just devastated. She gave up on life. She gave up. She lasted 6 months after.
And how are you coping now?
Well, to be honest, we are relieved that Tom is out. His suffering is over. He did suffer for those 18 months. He suffered terribly. And for my mother as well. And I just hope they're in a better place.